they offer you to stay for lunch, and you probably, it's good to sort of say thanks, but no thanks. I hear Leva Torah, the food is excellent, so we make sure that if we go, we'll be finished by one, for more my sake and certainly for your sake as well. You know, I could really speak here for the next 15 minutes and really wax poetic, and I would mean it with every sincere fiber of my being about what it feels like to be here in this Beis Medrash. First of all, Rabbi Kowalski and I, we were good friends for many years. We were chavrutas in YU. He was the shadchan between me and my wife, which Baruch Hashem has turned out great. So I owe a lot to Rabbi Kowalski. And to have seen this yeshiva grow, and to have seen people like Rabbi Siv and Rabbi Kaplan and Rabbi Jake and Rabbi Leibowitz, either from the time they were in high school or from the time in YU, to have come here and have created such an amazing institution. Rabbi Kowalski, how old is Leva Torah? 12 years old? Around? 11 years old. So he came to me when he was about 25 years old. He said, I'm going to build a yeshiva. I'm like, create a Benji or a Kowalski or whatever. And it's the last time you ever doubt Rabbi Kowalski. He can build a yeshiva in a neighborhood and a beautiful campus. You have like a mini golf course outside the front yard of like the, you know, a putting green. But just to be in this place, and even perhaps even more so than feeling the nachas of having watched this yeshiva grow and the accomplishments of Rabbi Kowalski and others, is to speak honestly, I've been working in YU now as mashkiach or skam mashkiach for the last 8 or 9 years. And it used to be, Jake will give me the exact numbers, when 6, 7, 8 years ago, guys from Leva Torah, they would come to YU, and for the most part, they didn't go to the yeshiva program. You would have a couple guys a year, Nassanel Fishman or Adam Berman or old graduates of this yeshiva, they would come, they're wonderful people, but they didn't leave their mark in YU. The last 3 or 4 years, especially the last 2 years, to have seen what this yeshiva has produced and how they've come to YU and literally be among the best guys in a yeshiva of 600 guys. I don't mean the best guys as far as learning and cheer, although that also, but as far as their growth and their passion and their tefillah and their seriousness and their hasmada. I have the great schus of having a Rebbe sits next to me. You guys know Danny Fordham? So Danny's like my Rebbe, you know. The guys like that, and just to have 15, 20 guys like that from Leva Torah and the yeshiva, who are just beautiful people and beautiful B'nai Aliyah, the yeshiva is doing an amazing job, and I want to give you a sense of confidence that when you come back to the United States, all I can do is speak about YU, I can't speak about other places, that you're coming back to a place that supports that growth, that affirms that growth, a place where guys, they feel they've grown even more because they were given the skills in Leva Torah, and then they go on to great shiurim afterwards. So Baruch Hashem, this is the one very, very crucial step, what hope to be many, many years of learning and comfort in a Beis Medrash and growth in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to speak about something, I guess I only have about with that lengthy hakdama. Speak about something for the next 13, 14 minutes that certainly is something that's very dear to my heart, and I'm sure to all of us. I think for all of my years when I was in YU, as much as I loved it, and I felt close to my Rebbeim and to Rabbi Blau, the Mashkiach, I never really heard a schmooze or a discussion about Emunah B'Hashem, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the Chovos Levavos, and I recommend a sefer that everybody should learn, even just the Hakdama, and Rabbeinu Bachya, he describes that the world of Yahadus, there are two different types of mitzvos. There's Chovos Evarim. I get up, I put on my tefillin, I sit in a sukkah, whatever the case is. Then you have chovos halevavos, what a person thinks and what a person feels. And he asks the question, unless a person is fully developed in their chovos halevavos, in their emunah, in their bitachon, so what sort of purpose are the chovos evarim? It's mechanical, it's robotic. If a person is not a person of faith and of connection, so then, okay, I get up, I put on tefillin. But I wouldn't say, so what? Although that's sort of the way that he put it. But in other words, that's not a meaningful act. Unless a person has a fully developed inner life that revolves around emunah and bitachon and yichud Hashem. And this idea of emunah b'Hashem, I'm sure it's something that you guys even learned about in high school. I'm sure if not there, then this year. According to most Rishonim, according to the Rambam and others, the Ramban and most Rishonim, emunah b'Hashem is a mitzvah. It's an obligation on every person to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, I know that's mitzvah to believe in God, but how do I accomplish that? How does a person, over the course of their life, develop deep-seated faith in Bona Sholem? Does anybody know what the Rambam says? Again, I don't want to take too much time, but I know the Rambam's basic approach and the medieval Rishonim. What's their basic approach to how a person believes in God? Anybody know? Even in a word, you can sort of crack, you can call it out. It's a very rational, it's a very intellectual approach to belief, that I can prove that God exists. I intellectually know that God exists. Everybody know the Rambam's language that he uses? Leida. A person has to know that God exists, and you can prove it. You can bring proofs to that effect. Anybody that's been living, you think about these issues, so you know that God is unprovable. If you go to a college campus next year, any college campus, and a guy stops you on the street and they say, how do you know God exists? And you try to bring a proof and a watchmaker theory, a person can debunk that in 2 seconds. I can give you a reason that, you know, don't bring me a proof to God's existence. Proofs are nice, but they don't really seal the deal. They don't really prove anything. They're there perhaps to give a person a certain confidence, but a person can't just believe in God based on something that's a proof. There are those who showed them, they take the opposite approach. Don't try to prove that God exists. Don't bring to me a proof. It's not intellectual. It's not rational. The name of the game, the order of the day, is Emunah Pshuta. I still believe that God exists. I don't really think about it. I'm not trying to prove it. But I know it. I have sort of a simple faith. What do you guys think about that? Sort of an Emunah Pshuta approach. My grandmother, who passed away many years ago, she didn't know a word. She wouldn't know the Rambam if she walked in the room. She didn't even know how to learn Chumash. But when she benched, she had like a 20-minute benching. Because she had like a simple faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But for a lot of people, it doesn't work. A lot of people would say, if I'm a sophisticated person, I'm an educated person, I'm a thinking person, I'm a grappling person, you can't just tell me to believe, and that's it. Emunah Pshuta. What I want to ask of you guys is that over the course of this year, and I'm sure you've done that already, and future years, is to find almost like a middle approach. Emunah that's not necessarily rational, Emunah that's not simple, but Emunah that's been cultivated and developed and realized and experienced over the course of many years. And to find different mechanisms, different avenues, different mahalchim for yourself of what makes Emunah meaningful. I know for myself, again, not so much time, but sometimes I sit in the Y.E. Beis Medrash. I have a Kaplan, Rav Jake, and Rav Yosef. You can sort of think back to your years there. I look sometimes at my Rebbe. I should be learning. I'm on the balcony of the Gluck Beis Medrash. And I look down at Rav Schechter. I used to feel this even when he was giving shir. Anybody see Rav Schechter before? He has a very sort of like, almost like angelic, sort of very soft quality to him. I think about all the Torah I've learned from over the years. And I think back to the fact that Rav Schechter's Rebbe, anybody know who Rav Schechter's Rebbe was? It was Rav Soloveitchik. I'm sure many of you have heard about and learned about. His yahrzeit was a few weeks ago. And Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather was the great Rav Chaim of Brisk, whose grandfather through marriage was the Nitziv, who was really a Talmud a few generations later, Rav Chaim Volozhin. And his Rebbe was the Vilna Gaon. And you trace the Vilna Gaon back to the Ramah, back to the Balei Tosvos, the Ritva, the Rambam, back to Ravina, Rav Ashi, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can look at your Rebbe if you sit in cheer. You hear a Kwawasser speak, who's also Talmud of Rav Schechter. You can trace back every single generation from the person teaching you Torah back to Moshe Rabbeinu without even lapsing one generation, one Beis Medrash. And that's for me perhaps one approach to think about the Mesorah and the validity and the beauty of the Torah, and my Emunah soars with those thoughts. I sometimes think about another avenue of Emunah for myself, I'm sure for others as well. When you think about what a Torah life brings a person and how it transforms a person, I had an incredibly impactful experience that lasted about 10 seconds. If anything in your life that lasts 10 seconds, but it's something you never forget. I was standing on the corner of Rehov Agron and Karen Hayesod in Yerushalayim, you know, right by Supersaw, that corner. And I'm about to cross the street. This was back in 1993, 94. And a car pulls up in front of me, and there's a person in the passenger side. I'm sort of standing right there, and it's Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Gadol Hador, somebody who I believe his shoes have not been filled since his passing back in 95. You ever see the face of Shlomo Zalman? There's probably pictures hanging in the yeshiva somewhere. I looked at him, he looked at me, I sort of gave him like a thumbs up. I wasn't sure exactly what to do. I sort of waved to him, he waved to me. And in a moment, I looked in his eyes and his smile and the radiance of his face. And that was a face, that was a persona, that was a being that could only have been created through a life of Torah, through a life of Kedusha, through a life of transforming one's midos. And when you see that in a person, what Torah brings to a person, a radiance they have, that's an emunah that feels lived in. It's not just simple faith, it's not intellectual, but it very much connects to life and life's experiences. For me, there's a third avenue of this I'll conclude, and certainly from my own experience, the most meaningful. You know, the last time I was in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if anybody here drives in Israel. Parents probably kill you if you try to rent a car. I don't know if you're old to rent a car. I'm always mocked that I rent a car when I come to Eretz Yisrael. I love just getting in a car, going somewhere. I usually get lost, but I love just like traveling around the country and just soaking in the avir, the ara, the environment of Eretz Yisrael. And I had to speak in the Tiv Aryeh a few years ago. I finished at 12 by noon, and I hopped in the car as I'm driving to Tzfas. Anybody ever, like, you guys went to Tzfas already in Tiyul? You ever just, like, walk through the streets of Tzfas at night? You know, just, like, taking in. And I'm driving up Route 6 and then hooking into Tzfas and stopping every half an hour just to sort of breathe in the air. I was listening to Shlomo Katz in the background. I don't know if anybody here's ever a Shlomo Katz fan. And I got to Tzfas right a couple hours before Shtiya, walking through the streets of the artist colony of the old city, davening in the shul of the Mechaber of Yosef Karo. It was a feeling of coming back to a place. Not as like Tzfas, but coming back to a place within yourself, connecting to a spiritual vibrancy of a soul that's alive, of a nefesh that's vibrant. You ever have experiences here? You go up on the roof on a beautiful evening and you just have moments where it's almost as though the body stripped away. And all you are is a soul just connecting to Ribono Shel Olam. If you have those moments in life, they don't happen every day or every week or every month even. But if that's who you are, be Yisod. If who you are, be Yisod, is a Jew who by Ne'ilah knows how to pour their heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you feel the strength of that. You don't need a proof to God's existence. You don't need a moon of pshuta. But you know there's a spiritual vibrancy that exists within you, that informs you, that empowers you, that informs every part of who you are. I give you guys a bracha this year that you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in so many different ways. For me, again, through the Mesorah, through the seeing of people who are transcendent personalities and what Torah does to a person. And mostly through the recognition, the cognizance, the aliveness of your own spiritual life. When you have that, that is something that infuses the rest of your life moving forward. It's an emunah that is meaningful and vibrant, and something that hopefully serves as the meaningful chovos levavos to a life of actions and to mitzvos. Any of you are going back to YU? Most of you are old brother, right? Most of you? Okay. Amazing guy, your brother. Anyways, going back to YU next year. I'd love to be able to establish a kesher. I take such pride personally in the kesher that I have with the guys in Leva Torah. We were supposed to have a Leva Torah Shabbaton in my house. It started off with supposedly five guys, now more guys came. So we have about 15 guys coming on the Shabbos that come back. My wife doesn't know yet, but she'll find out when they show up. Just to be able to learn together, to grow together. I'll just mention before we go, I try to sit down with every guy, besides sort of constant learning and kavrusas and talking, you know, every couple months, sit down and say, you know, what are areas you have to work on, what are areas you feel you're succeeding in, what's your limud for the summer, for you to really feel as though you come back to the yeshiva, for YU, it's a place of tremendous growth. Look forward to seeing you there, have an amazing rest of the year, and I'm sure that this experience will spurn on a mir tshem, a life of Torah mitzvot, and a beautiful connection full of amunah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you, guys.